Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc.
If you don't have anxiety, the way I would describe it is like there's an edgy improv group in your brain. And it just needs like a one-word suggestion to spin like countless scenarios that no one's comfortable with.
The documentary Anxiety Club offers an insightful and humorous exploration of anxiety through the lens of some of today's most brilliant comedians. Tiffany Jenkins, Mark Maron, Aparna Nancherla, Mark Normand, Joe List, Ava Victor, and Baron Vaughn. With a mix of stand-up performance, sketch videos, exclusive interviews, and relatable everyday life experiences, the comedians share their personal struggles with anxiety, the world's most prevalent mental health condition. The documentary has been screening at film festivals around the country, and as of today, is available on jolt.film. Anxiety Club is directed and produced by Wendy Lobel. Lobel is a director and Emmy Award-winning producer whose work explores the complexities of the human experience. Her projects have been featured on PBS, A&E, VH1, MSNBC, Nickelodeon, and more. Wendy produced over 25 episodes of the acclaimed children's series Nick News with Linda Ellerbe. Wendy Lobel, welcome to the Roundtable. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
I want to tell you, as sort of a place setting, that it's just going to sound like it's not related to anything, but it comes around very quickly. I have a shared calendar with my husband. I normally don't put my interviews in there, but sometimes I accidentally put them on the wrong calendar. So I had this in my calendar, which went to our shared calendar as Anxiety Club, and he assumed that it was something I had found to go to or that I was founding. So
that's so funny.
I think that sets that also lets you know, because you don't know me, that I'm a member of the club.
Welcome. I'm the president.
How did you decide to explore the topic of anxiety through stand-up comedians?
Well, the stand-up comedian part, and it's actually stand-up comedians and some comedians who do sketch videos.
Right, of course.
It really started, originally I was going to do regular people with anxiety, and the comedians came later. Originally, just years ago, I spent a long time working on a kids' news program for Nickelodeon called Nick News with Linda Ellerbe.
Yes, indeed.
And I had done an episode about kids with anxiety back in 2013 or so. And it was around that time that I saw how these kids were suffering. And I also saw that the therapy that they were doing, which was exposure therapy, which is part of cognitive behavioral therapy. It's behavioral therapy. It was really profound for them. It was really helping them to get better. And even though I have anxiety, I didn't know about that kind of treatment. And so at that point, I started thinking about doing a bigger film. And it was going to be about regular people with anxiety and how to get from anxious to calm. And in the process of the casting, researching who is going to be part of this film, who are we going to focus on? It was a long process over a lot of time, and it evolved into looking into some comedians. And once I started doing that, it became very clear that that was a better way to talk about a serious subject like anxiety, using comedians who are not just funny, but for their work, that's what they do day in and day out. They're introspective, they're thinking about their mental health, the world around them, and they just have a more compelling way of talking about such subjects. And it really just kind of clicked and really resonated with people. So,
and not to imply that any part of this was easy, but it does seem to limit it to one profession for the scope of the film makes it easier to get your arms around and know where to start and stop.
Yes, definitely. And it was very specifically comedians with anxiety and comedians who talk about their anxiety in their stand-up or in their sketch videos. And so that became a way to help tell their stories, showing them doing their stand-up. There's a lot of stand-up, there's a lot of sketch comedy in the film. So it's funny, so it's packaged in that way, but it's also very intimate because, I interviewed all of the comedians and they got pretty vulnerable in that process. And it kind of has both the heart and the humor, we like to think.
Did Did you face any challenges convincing the participants to participate?
For the most part, it was not. But there were a lot of people who we considered and didn't end up choosing to include, or some comedians who we reached out to who didn't want to participate. But in terms of the seven people who ended up in this film, and they were very much handpicked because, you know, there had to be people, as I said, who had, you know, were struggling with anxiety to some extent and who did comedy about their mental health. But also, like, it had to be funny and people who I really liked and who resonated with me and the rest of my team. You know, in a lot of cases, it was like reaching out on their through their website, or in one or two cases, I would go, I like with Mark Normand, I knew that he was going to be doing a set, going to be doing stand-up at a club in New York. I just went up to him after, and this was back in 2018. I mean, he was already popular, but he's so much more popular now. But I went up to him after, I told him what I was doing. I had already gotten the okay from Joe List to participate in the film, and he was like, sure, I'll do it.
If I do things alone, I'm usually okay. But it's the going out into the world that's the hard part. I get a lot of social anxiety. Is this person gonna hate me? Am I annoying this person? Am I a burden? I probably look like a normal average Joe, but I'm really going, shut up, you're an idiot, take it easy. No, but I think that guy does hate you. Oh, shut up, you're crazy. No, I don't know, he wasn't a fan. You see the way he looked at you?
I don't know, in some ways, that part fell into place maybe more than I thought. It was a little harder to get Marc Maron. It took a little bit more effort, but he came through and he was amazing and a big part of the film, and it all worked out.
Expanding on that question out to the other people who do participate in the film, there's the lightly featured families and partners of some of the people, but also therapists. Tiffany Jenkins goes to a new therapist and starts exploring exposure therapy with this therapist on screen. It's very interesting. And I should point out that her, just for people who haven't seen it yet, her consuming anxiety was mostly about the safety of her children. And she just wouldn't let them out of her sight. I shouldn't say just. How did you and she find a therapist who would participate in a documentary film about this early stages of treatment?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And that took the longest out of anything else, you know, in terms of the process of making this film. And we wanted to make sure that we were doing it in a way that was going to be very safe for both of them. And that they both, that especially Tiffany, that she should know that if at any point she didn't want to continue, that was her choice. We, she and I, Tiffany and I spent some time on Zoom first together, getting to know each other. I took a trip out there and I spent a couple of days getting to know her in person. In terms of Natalie, Tiffany wanted my help in terms of finding someone. But I didn't want to find a therapist for her. It needed to be somebody that she ultimately chose. And so I just vetted, you know, a half a dozen therapists in her area. And then she took it from there and looked them up and talked to some of them. And we ended up with Natalie. And Natalie happens to be someone who is very into comedy. She goes to see a lot of comedy. And so she appreciated what we were doing. And I think both of them participated because they saw the value and they knew that this was something that could potentially help a lot of people who are struggling. You know, what's interesting just about about the therapy process was that, we wanted to also make sure that it was, that they could feel as comfortable as possible in that situation, in that intimate situation. And so my director of photography, Scott, he suggested that we hide the cameras and that there'd be no one from the crew in the therapy room. So we were all monitoring it from the room next door. And so they were really able to have as authentic of a conversation as possible, considering the fact that they were being filmed. But they couldn't see, when I said that we hid the cameras, I mean, of course they knew there were cameras,
right,
but they couldn't see them. So it wasn't a constant reminder that they're being filmed. And so they really got very, they seemed very very comfortable, and I'm sure it took them a little while to get used to it, but they were quite authentic, I think.
Having been in therapy, it feels like they're really doing the thing.
You know, the intrusive thoughts in and of themselves does not mean you're somehow crazy or pathological or anything like that. It's really what how you're responding to them that's keeping you kind of in that loop.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I hadn't ever heard, I fancy myself a comedy, you know, knower and fan of comedians, but I hadn't ever heard that Jamie Masada had noticed a challenge to the comics at the Laugh Factory and brought in a psychologist in residence. Could you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, isn't that just amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's just when I think about it, it never ceases to amaze me that, you know, he had been in the business for a very long time. He's sort of iconic, as is his clubs. And there were several people, friends, comedian friends, who had taken their life because of mental health challenges. And he, you know, it's very hard for someone who's not a mental health professional, to recognize the signs. And so at a certain point, there were a couple of comedians that he lost, and it was devastating to him, as it was every time it would happen. And so he decided he wanted to do something that could really help his community of comedians. And so he brought on this woman who's in the film, and the comedians, I believe they get like 6 free sessions, and then there's like a sliding scale after that for any comedian in need. And she has done sessions at the club. She has done sessions at her office, and she is someone who has helped a lot of comedians with their struggles. And it's just an amazing, I mean, every office, you know, every place of employment should have someone like her, but it's pretty unusual.
Our guest is Wendy LoBelle, producer and director of Anxiety Club. The film will be available to stream on jolt.film today. Aparna Nancherla says anxiety is a false friend. It warns you of a danger, but the danger isn't there. It's the, you know, the fight or flight, the adrenaline response. I thought she encapsulated the feeling very well with that statement.
And it's one of my favorite lines, because we think that anxiety, you know, when we struggle with anxiety, like, we think that those feelings are warning us of something that we need to, you know, that it's an incoming threat, and that we have to make sure to avoid that threat, and to, you know, as if it's something that's real. And often when we have anxiety, it's just, you know, it's like what our brain is doing to us, and how our brain is reacting to like a false threat. And we go into a mode of, you know, it can be all different things for different people, but it can be, you know, avoidance or people pleasing or looking for assurance or all these maladaptive behaviors. So it feels like a friend warning us to be careful, but it's really not. It's I think that's just so well said, a false friend, because it is not a friend at all. And if anything, we should be ignoring that friend or interrupting the thoughts that friend is putting in our heads in order to get back to the present and move forward.
I remember a few years ago, I think it might have been during COVID. Well, time is a lie. Let us stop trying to remember what year anything happened. But Bill Hader had an interview where he talked about his anxiety through life, but at SNL and since then, as being like thinking of it as a little kind of creature on his shoulder that he sort of, you know, he couldn't get it off of his shoulder, but he had to accept and work with it and live with it being there.
Right. Well, I mean, Joe List, one of the comedians in the film, talked about that notion as well. I mean, it does feel like it's this negative, you know, devil, whatever, you know, sitting on your shoulder and giving, you know, putting thoughts in your head that are not particularly helpful. But, you know, the Bill Hader thing is interesting because, you know, I remember him talking about how there was so much anxiety that he felt working on at SNL. And then, you know, it turns out after that special that came out, you know, they all had anxiety. And it's not really surprising with that kind of a job. I mean, the pressure. I mean, even people who are not inherently anxious would probably be anxious working in that kind of an atmosphere.
That digital short that was on the SNL 50 special that the Lonely Island Guides made about anxiety was like, I mean, all of their songs are so funny. When they're observational like that, they're so astute. And then they're real bangers. I mean, the music is good. And you're like, I do want to like celebrate in a dance mode this disorder.
Right. Right. No, that was really funny. I got a lot of calls after that asking me if I had seen it. This is all the people who know I'm, you know, working on this project.
How has the film been received thus far? How was the screening in the Berkshires and anywhere else?
The screening in the Berkshires was great. Actually, Chevy Chase showed up for that screening, which was really fun. And that we've been to many festivals. We premiered at Doc NYC, and we've probably screened at about 15 or more festivals, and we have about the same amount to go. And people seem to really like it. I think people with anxiety, it makes them feel like they're not alone in this.
Part of a club.
This welcoming club. I think there are some people who have said, you know, that they don't have anxiety, but they now understand their spouse or their child better. And so I don't know, I think, you know, we're feeling really good about how people are receiving this. And the fact that it's funny is making it easier for people to look at themselves and look at their own anxiety and feel less stigmatized in the process, it seems. So so we're excited. And it's, you know, I'm the director, but it was definitely very much a team effort. And, you know, I feel very grateful for all the people that worked with me on it and all the comedians who opened up about their deepest, darkest feelings. I mean, not everybody would do that. I think comedians, you know, they go, it's easier when they're on, in a way, when they're on stage, they're doing, you know, they're in control. But being in an interview and sitting for an hour and a half talking about this this stuff is, you know, took some courage. And so that was really, I'm really appreciative of that.
How did you approach the questioning of each individual as you sat down for those interviews that you were just mentioning? Did you have stock questions you asked each of them, or were they personalized? How did you work that out?
Well, all of the comedians knew beforehand that I am very familiar with the experience of anxiety and that I understand it. Mm-hmm. So I think that was helpful. So they didn't feel like they were talking to somebody who couldn't relate. I definitely was able to relate. So that was one thing. I always come into any interview with a list of questions. And then what I try to do is have it there, but not look at it, mm-hmm. or, you know, make it more of a conversation. And so, but then at certain parts of the interview, I would look down and I would, you know, remind myself of some things to make sure that I had asked. And it was different there were certain questions that were the same for each comedian. And then, of course, there were some questions that were different because they all struggle in different ways. And, you know, I certainly did a lot of research about how anxiety affects them and was very familiar with their comedy, and that was a big part of the conversation, of course.
Mark Maron says in the film that jobs in other sectors probably have as much anxiety as comedians, but it's not other jobs in other sectors don't get up on stage and go, here are my problems. You know, here's what I have a struggle with. What do you think? Do you think he's right about that? Do you think it's pervasive?
I do think he's right about it. I mean, Baron also said something about that. It's like everybody thinks that comedians are more anxious or more messed up, but, you know, they just live in it. And I think that's true. It's like, it's very hard. I don't know the answer to that. My focus was very much about the common experience of anxiety, using comedians to talk about that subject. But if I had to guess, I would say that it probably is similar to the general public.
Right, the greater population.
Like we assume that they have more anxiety because they're out there talking about it, whereas maybe, you know, our bus drivers or our teachers are not being as open about it. But, you know, there's a whole lot of anxiety. There's a lot of people struggling. So I don't know, but my guess would be that it's very likely representative of the actual, you know, community of people out there.
What did you learn while making the movie that surprised you or changed the way you approach your own anxiety or, you know, anything, any lights shown into your, you know, your personal life as you make this doc?
Yeah, I mean, I would say one of my favorite things was when Natalie, Tiffany's therapist, talked about when she said that it's not like you're going to stop having these thoughts, these anxious thoughts, but it's how you respond to them. And that was a light bulb for me, because I think sometimes when we go for treatment, we think, oh, we're just never going to feel anxious again. And it's not, that's not necessarily the goal, the right goal. I mean, the goal is about what do you do after you have that thought and how do you handle it? And so I am very conscious of that in my day-to-day life now, whereas if I have, you know, an anxious thought, that I recognize it. And, you know, I know when I'm avoiding something, I know when I'm asking somebody for reassurance, for false reassurance, or people pleasing. I just know when I'm doing these maladaptive behaviors. And so it makes it easier to not do that, or it makes it easier to say, okay, you know, let me try to get back to the present. And, you know, I don't have to go down that rabbit hole. And so that's definitely been one thing. And I guess, you know, just that, you know, everybody in the film or anybody who has anxiety, I mean, there's a lot of differences, but there's a lot of commonalities in terms of the struggle. And it can be very difficult. But, you know, there are tools out there, and I've learned a lot about myself through this process. Like another one from Natalie was maybe not, you know, when we have anxiety, we hate uncertainty. It's like, we want control. We want to make sure everything is in its place. And this term that she told Tiffany to do, you know, to say when she's having anxiety, maybe not, maybe something bad will happen, maybe it won't, you know, and I use that quite often in my own life, because it's a way of getting more accustomed to living with uncertainty, the uncertainties of life. So there's so many things, but those are a couple of them.
The film Anxiety Club is streaming on jolt.film today, and it is so watchable. It is funny, like you said. It is human, and I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed speaking with you about it, Wendy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate the interview.
Producer and director of Anxiety Club, Wendy Lobel. To learn more about the documentary, you can visit anxietyclubmovie.com. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. The movie is available on jolt.film as of today.
I just, like, you know, it's like, what do we think we're going to do? Like, if you're incapacitated and your life is unmanageable for whatever reason, you know, you should fix that. If you're uncomfortable, but you're okay, that might just be you.
I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.